Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, people. Can We Talk Radio is back. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you this wonderful show every Friday from 8 o'clock till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Man, I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a good mood because Man of Steel, yes, that's right, Man of Steel, the new Superman movie, is coming out real soon. And I heard it's bananas, man. I heard that it's off the chain. I heard the reviews, and I heard that the fight scenes, the special effects, are so realistic that it is hard to tell what's fake and what's real. I heard that they've taken this to a whole new, complete level when it comes to action movies, and some say it's even better than the Avengers. So we're going to have to see about that. I want to introduce my co-host, my friend, a man that I respect highly, Brother Ronnie Ambrose. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Raz. How you doing?
I'm blessed, bro. Hey, Ronnie, man, what do you think about the Man of Steel movie, man, coming out?
You know what? I did see a pilot, or you know, like a little promo shot on YouTube, and it looks pretty good. I'd check it out. I'd probably still wait for the DVD to come out, but I'll check it out.
Man, I ain't waiting for the DVD. I'm going to check it out, bro.
Right on.
Definitely, absolutely, man. So, Ronnie, man, how you doing, man? How's your week been, bro?
The week's been cool. You know, the Father's blessed us with some work, so it's always good to be able to go to work and, you know, not really have to worry. So I'm just thankful, man, for the work that I've been given. You know, I mean, just like a regular job. I'm not talking like some ministry-type work, but I'm just thankful for, you know, my daily bread, man. And this week's been good. This week's been good. Weather's been fun. You know, went and saw some family. I'm excited, man, you know. I got a brother recently released from prison after 10 years, you know what I mean? So it's been a nice week.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. That's some good news right there, man. And I hear that you're getting down with a barbecue, bro. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much as we speak, you know, I have to keep my cue hand strong. So that's what I'm doing.
All right. That's good, man. Hey, what do you think of last week's show? We actually got some really good ratings. We have over 800 people that listen to the podcast, which I think is pretty good. And I actually enjoyed last week's show, man. I actually enjoyed last week's show a lot, and I think it was a good show. What do you think about that?
I think it was good. It was going strong, and you know, everybody was helpful. It was pretty good. So, you know, I just recommend to check out the archives. That's what I recommend. Check it out, because I know there's a lot of meat in there and a lot of, there's enough instruction and wisdom in there to help anybody through anything. So I just would advise anybody to check out the archives. But last week's show was fun. I learned. It was cool.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely, man. That was awesome, man. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Miss Shari out of Maryland. What's up, Sonia?
Yeah.
I want to say hello to you. Whenever you get a chance, call in. We'd like to hear from you again. And shout-out to our main homegirl, Alicia Cheney. She's out of town again. And but big shout-out to Alicia. I want to give a shout out to North, who was on the show last week. A shout out to Rodney Fulton, who's on the show last week, and a shout out to Eric. Eric Douglas, who hasn't been on the show for a minute, but I'm sure he'll be back pretty soon. And
that's right.
You know, I want to read a question, Ronnie, from a guy called Brian. He emailed a question to us. He asked, if I do not accept Jesus into my heart, why do I not get to go to heaven? And why would I go to hell? ? And what about people I know who don't get the opportunity? Well, Brian, you ask a very interesting question, and actually a good question that I've heard asked by a lot of people, even myself before I actually became saved. And I want to answer this question by saying this. Everyone gets an opportunity to accept Christ. The question is, what do you do with that opportunity when it presents itself? But it's really not that complicated. Let me ask you this, Brian. Who gets into Brian's house? People who know Brian or people who do not know Brian? Brian, I would say that the people that get into your house are people that you know or people who are respectful of you, your home, and your rules. So you have rules in your home, Brian, that your guests have to abide by. Your guests do not get to make up their own rules in your own home. This is no different to God's home, which is heaven. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. There are rules and etiquettes that tie into heaven because it's the house of God. So it's not very complex to understand. Hell is really allowing the individual to decide to not be with God for eternity. So, if you don't want to spend 80 or 90 years on this earth having an intimate relationship with God and making him your priority, why would you want to do it for eternity? So God allows you to go to a place where he is not. That is what hell is, the absence of God. It's a final decision you choose that. So this is a decision that you should be giving a lot of thought to, Ryan, when considering your eternal future. Ryan, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I totally agree. I think, as far as addressing this question, you know, why wouldn't you go, you know, if you look around, you'll see that there's enough evidence to show that things are in order. If you just look at nature, nature is in order. And so that's the physical clue that we're given. Then the spiritual truth is that there is an order, you know, and the order has been given to us. Just because the Bible is in a book form doesn't mean it was written, you know, for entertainment. These are scrolls and tablets that we have access to, and they were given by God to humanity so that we wouldn't be left without instructions. And the instructions are pretty simple. You know, there's one creator of the universe, and there's one gateway to the creator of the universe, which is the Savior. So the thing is, the choice is before you. You know, it's really, like Rad says, up to the individual to make that choice and to go ahead and test it out and see if the Father is correct. And so I would, you know, first, of course, recommend at least do some research, do some homework, do some studying. Consider the scriptures, you know, weigh things out, because no matter what level of success you enter on earth, you run the risk of dying, you know, dying before your time, or you might live to 100 and something in an old folks home, and I'm sure that's not the only thing that life is about. And so I would just consider that there's more to life than this physical realm. And we do have the scriptures that give plenty instructions, and the scriptures have been accurate so far on a lot of physical things. So I'm sure they're accurate on the spiritual fact that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through his only manifestation in the flesh, which we know as Jesus, which is the Savior. So, but that's pretty much it. Why would you go to hell if you didn't know the Savior? Because Adam, the representative of humanity, dropped the ball for humanity a long time ago. And so why, I can't say why, but I know for sure that we do have salvation, so I choose salvation. So, you know, I just would tell the brother to go look some things up. We're in the information age. If you don't know about, you can get so many details just by Googling and going to a library, and, you know, there's so much information and resources out there. If you're still straddling the fence, you might be in denial, or you might be, you know, living in fear, but, you know, there's no reason to not know. So, yeah, that's pretty much my take on it.
Absolutely. That's a good point, Ronnie. You know, Ronnie, we need to do a show about people who is there more than one way to salvation, or is there more than one way to heaven? A lot of people are talking about, such as Oprah Winfrey, your homegirl, and a few of the other people are talking about, you know, there's more than one way. How do they know? I mean, did you write the script? did you create the rules for the game? I think not. So, you know, we need to do a show about that and really try to clear this up. I think that'll be a good show. What do you think about that?
I think we should go for it.
Absolutely, man.
Because all the cards out on the table, we'll be able to pick and choose, you know, which one rings with your spirit, truthfully, because the thing that would lead somebody to that is because of, I believe, lack of investigation. Because if you actually considered all the details, you understand? I'm not talking about the Michelangelo pictures and the rules and I'm not talking about false representations. I'm talking about if you consider all the true details, you know, it's spirit and life, and so it will speak to you, and you will make the right decision. So if you're, like I said earlier, if you're on the strap on the fence, it's due to a lack of knowledge.
Absolutely.
So if we bring out all the avenues, the so-called many ways, you'll see that a lot of them don't hold as much weight as media and, you know, mindless followers make you seem.
Absolutely. And I think we have another caller from the 562 area code. Hello, caller. How you doing? 562, caller. How you doing?
Maybe just got a listener.
Okay, we just got to listen. That's okay. You could continue to listen. Not a problem. Hey, Ronnie, you mentioned something about your spirit being the real you, and that's an interesting point because if you don't mind, before we get into today's topic, you got to consider that your body. Think of it like a car. You are not your car. But you drive around in your car. Your car is like a vessel that transports you around from place to place. Your body is not you. It's a shell that contains your spirit and your soul that moves you around in this plane or material world from place to place. For example, if you crash your car, you're going to get out. Your car could get totaled. It could get salvaged. It could get impounded. And that's it. You have to get a new car. But if you crash your body, or to the point where it cannot be salvaged, that's it. You shed that shell, and your spirit and your soul go to the true reality, which is eternity. So, guys, please consider that. Consider that. You have anything to add to that, Ronnie?
No, that's the real. That's the real. You are not. You are more than just. If you go in the dictionary, okay, let's do it like this. You go in the dictionary and look up the word body. You see that it says it describes the body as a corpse. The dictionary describes the body as something that only houses the spirit or mind or soul. And so, you know, it's not just us from a theological perspective telling you this. This is just the truth. Your body is a temporary shell that houses an eternal spirit, and there's a destination for that eternal spirit. And the fact that God has given humanity dominion on the earth means you can choose where you're going to go. But that spirit, that's the real you, Not the soul that's influenced by, you know, every wind of doctrine, and not the body that's influenced by, you know, surroundings and desires, but the spirit that's eternal. You know, that's what you want to consider. And since there's no commercials for your spirit, people tend to neglect that, you know, it needs to be respected as well.
Absolutely. Ronnie, man, it's news time, man. What do we have in the news? What's going on in the world this week, man?
Well, I only got one story, and it was a pretty interesting story. And this is, like I said, I'm going to let you guys know, whoever's listening, these are things happening now, this year, this month, this week, on this earth. So check this out. This first story is about... I don't know if anyone remembers when they took the Ten Commandments out of a courthouse a while ago, and things of that nature.
Yeah,
so here's another monument story that we have. Bradford County Courthouse, Florida, announces that the first monument in the county dedicated to atheism is set to be displayed in front of a county courthouse in Florida later this month. The monument is a part of a settlement between officials in Bradford County, Florida, and the organization called the American Atheists of Cranford, New Jersey. Last year, they had a dispute. The American Atheist sued the county for permitting the display of the Ten Commandments on the premises, which was placed by a group known as the Community Men's Fellowship. And let's see, the county had asked the fellowship to remove the monument, but the men refused to do so. Therefore, the atheist group insisted on forcing the matter, and then it was agreed to allow the American Atheists to erect their own display outside of the courthouse in a free speech area. And so there's a quote here saying from the atheist saying that we have maintained from the beginning that the Ten Commandments doesn't belong on government property. In a country, in a state that considers that in God they trust. But the Ten Commandments don't belong on government property, stated the American Atheist president, I'm not going to say his name, in a press release. There's no secular purpose for the monument whatsoever. This is his quote continuing. However, there's no secular purpose for the monument whatsoever, and it makes atheists feel like second-class citizens. But if keeping it means we have the right to install our own monument, then installing our own monument is exactly what we're going to do. So later on this month, they're going to have the privilege of having the first atheist monument in front of this courthouse later on this month. And so they
wow.
did a tit for tat meeting. Yeah, but I mean, I'm like I said, this is not to discourage anybody. This is to inform everybody where we're at. There is a scripture that where the Savior says that the children of this world are shrewder or wiser than the believers because they take advantage of everything on the land. You got to remember, we were called to subdue the land. This was God's first gift to humanity in the garden. Be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the whole earth, meaning have the earth under your own control. Use everything, you know, use every herb, use every fruit, use every plant for medicine. You know, be wise with everything that's on this land. And you see that the non-believers, they don't have a problem with forcing the government to back them up. I'm not saying be political, but I'm just saying be aware that there's plenty ways that we could come together. Your vote matters. but it starts with your awareness. So as the believers, we need to be aware of what's going on right in our own backyards. So, you know, that's the only news that I got for today. But yeah, it's now we got an atheist monument in front of a courthouse, you know, where they ask you to swear on a Bible, but they don't want the Ten Commandments in there.
It's funny how they want to, when you go to court, they want to swear in the Bible when God specifically says, do not swear, you know.
Wow.
But anyway,
one
time I had to go and get my fingerprints taken in, the guy asked me, do you swear? I said, no, I don't swear. But he said, well, then what do you do, Mr. Williams? I said, I can affirm, but I will not swear. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
But anyway, that's just a point. But hey, let me ask you, what kind of atheist monument? Do you know exactly what it is that they're actually?
I don't know exactly. So I would encourage anyone listening to do some investigation. It's a Florida courthouse with an atheist monument.
You know, guys, if you're listening, you need to really pay attention to these things. We're bringing you these things so we can kind of give you an overview of what's really going on in the world. The powers of darkness, they don't need any encouragement. They don't need a pep talk. They're going to continue their campaign whether you feel good or not. But why is it that we need to be... Anyway, I don't want to put anyone down, man. But I'm just saying, look, guys, we have to be proactive. We have to speak up for Christ. We have to do things. We have to encourage ourselves. The description about it says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. We always triumph. Don't allow society, the things in this world, the negative things discourage you. Stand up for what's holy. Stand up for what's God. Anyway, man.
Hey.
You know, guys, so with that said, Brother Wanya, you know what? Let me give a shout-out to Dawana. She's like my big sister. I call her Dawana Mama. She's listening. I think she's in the salon right now getting her hair did. So I just want to give a shout-out to Dawana. She's somewhere out there in Crenshaw or L.A. somewhere. But anyway, Ronnie, let's get into today's show, man. You're listening to Can We Talk Radio. It's Friday. The number to call in is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Tonight's show, we picked a topic, me and Ronnie, we picked an interesting topic that Ronnie was very passionate about and I was very passionate about. And today's topic is called The Rise of Feminization of Men in Today's Society. I'm going to say that again. The rise of feminized men in today's society or culture. We live in a culture now where from the fashion to social behaviors, where we're seeing a lot of feminine dudes hopping around, prancing around, like it's cool. And I believe that there's a purposeful promotion of homosexual / metrosexuality or overly feminized men to cause gender confusion, which is nothing really but a ruse to hide deliberate attacks on heterosexual norms, therefore undermining the fundamental building blocks of a healthy society, i.e. the traditional family, a husband, a wife, and children. The devil, or the enemy of our souls, through his worldly, political, entertainment, social, and fashion systems, want heterosexuals to suffer from the same gender confusion as homosexuals do, which makes it impossible to bond permanently with the opposite sex. As a result, the vast majority of people will substitute promiscuity for love, marriage, and family. I sense that something far more profoundly is threatening the masculinity of America. And I mean the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to us via media and through entertainment. So therefore, turning our healthy dislike for abnormality into warm regard, whether we like it or not. So, I mean, I want to put this out there that this is not an attack on homosexuals. This is not an attack on certain types of people. We're not here to promote hate. We're not here to promote any kind of negativity. We love everybody. But there are things that are happening in society that we need to talk about and we need to address. So, Ronnie, what do you think about this? What do you think about today's topic, man?
Well, I think it needs to be brought up because the style and fashion and what's acceptable and what the kids are being consumed by is not masculine at all. As far as the male figures that they have, the masculinity level is gone. You know, I'm older, you know, but and in my time on this earth, I've seen the masculinity totally be wiped away. There was a time where, you know, Prince was the, you know, most suspicious looking guy, and, you know, I guess he would cover it up by being around a lot of women. But now, you know, there's the athletes. You know, I'm not talking about the gay athletes. I'm talking about when you open your GQ magazine, you got a 250-pound brother was, you know, known for dunking or running, and he's in a little suit so tight that he can't even move around. You know, when I was growing up, girls wore tight clothes, not men. But that's not what's happening today. You see a lot of boys wearing female pants, blouses, you know, and it's deemed okay. So I think that people need to realize.
Absolutely. You know what's absurd is that, I really want to address this, Ronnie, about, I mean, I want to address what advertising is doing as far as playing a role in desensitizing us to what's normal and what's abnormal. For example, I mean, 5 years ago, even a few years ago, would you ever think about men wearing women's jeans? I mean, as if tight jeans is not tight enough. But now you want to go from tight jeans to wearing women's jeans. What's up with that?
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
And then, you know, that's – and it's not like a gay bashing thing because the style of fashion, it actually suits the homosexual, meaning – It suits them in every way. Like, it looks like that's what they should be wearing. But when I see a guy, you claim that you're not gay, but you look like you got women's clothes on, and you tell him, and then you tell me why it's okay. You know, I can't blame the youth because they're only doing what they see. But there's a certain group out there that knows that this is not all right.
I want to talk about the causes. Why is this happening in today's society? What's the main drive and the main push behind this? So I want to talk about cause number one, the family structure breakdown. And especially in the black community, we have a lot of absent fathers in our community. And also I'm sure there's absent fathers in the Hispanic communities and the Caucasian communities alike. But, you know, the numbers, I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I'm pretty sure that in the black community, it's probably much more. Right. Because of the absence of fathers in the household, male children growing up, since they don't have a man around to mirror or learn male characteristics or behaviors, they learn and mimic the mannerisms or behaviors of females, primarily their mothers, grandmothers, and aunties who are raising them. And understand this, this doesn't mean that these young boys are homosexuals, or it doesn't mean that they're more feminine, but it just means that they're more prone to, you know, be susceptible to, you know, can I say brainwashed, Ronnie? Would that be a good word?
That's what it is.
Exactly. You know, so it seems for the most part that our young boys are suffering between two extremes, especially young black boys. I would say between either being chauvinistic thuggism or metrosexualized feminism. What do you think about my comment?
I think it's true, you know. And once we see the root, it's not, you know, like I said, it's not a gender attack. The thing is that this is an attack on the family. When the family structure is out of order, it's like a domino effect. A person is not in line, is not thinking right. You can be financially successful, but spiritually, you've been, you need a realignment. You're out of alignment. You're off. And the thing is, I see part of the formula is once you get the father out of the way, or out of the way meaning either in jail or too busy or, you know, not a father but a baby daddy, you know what I'm saying? Once you get that situation going on, even the father that's working 10 to 12 hours a day, once you eliminate the father's presence, you put the kid, you put the boy who needs to learn from his dad how to be a man, you put him in a position to look for other leaders and other forms of guidance, and the most readily available is the television. And this is where a kid would learn to articulate. This is where a kid will learn to walk, talk, and, you know, this is the media or the music or whatever they spend time with the most, whether it be video games. But, you know, I'm saying the source of all these things is society, but whatever they spend their time in is going to mold them and shape them. And now they're not like their natural fathers. They're like what's been fed to them because they're vulnerable and, you know, it's just not positive. It'd be different if it was a positive message, but it's obviously not. Not if the norm is for boys to dress like girls.
Absolutely. You know, you made a good point, and I want to add to what you were saying. I want to talk about social change and how the progression of social change has perhaps had a influence in the feminization of males, in the sense that I believe, Ronnie, that manliness, or, you know, has come under heavy assault, and I would see that it's come under assault in probably three consecutive ways, such as I want to talk about the first way, which I think was the Industrial Revolution, which kind of removed fathers from a young son's world and distanced him from his needed male template. Then second was in the 1950s and the 60s we had the Feminist Revolution, which degraded which really degraded manliness and insisted on androgyny or sameness between men and women. And then the third was the sexual revolution, which destroyed moral boundaries in sex and led to a culture of divorce. So it's kind of impossible to describe the devastating implications of the sexual revolution on men, but I think that it not only did the boys of these divorced homes grow up wounded, but also confused. And, you know, their template became, instead of becoming more male-oriented, it became more female-oriented. And therefore, I mean, you know, they grew up in a world where it was predominantly female dominated the world, which led to the rise of feminized men. So that's what I have to say about the social change. Next, I would say, you know, there's a purposeful intent to feminize men by their appearance and dispose of them. If you again, we just talked about how if you walk around in the malls, I've seen guys wearing tight shorts, capri pants, women's jeans, their eyeliner, nails, fingernail polished, eyebrows plucked. I mean, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's you know, and women like that. Some women like that stuff. So I don't know. I just see that as to me, I see that as a problem, Ronnie. And I think that you know, you dudes need to knock it off, man. You need to, you know, you need to straighten that out. What do you have to say about this, man? What do you have to say about the fact that we're seeing a rise of, we're talking about the feminization of men, but it's coming from all different angles. It's coming from the entertainment. We've got pop icons like Justin Bieber. You've got Kanye West, Lil Wayne, all those guys out there that are wearing these women jeans, acting feminine. So people think it's cool, and that's one side. Now you have the clothing industry that only sells and puts out their tight jeans, tight sagging jeans, if there's such a thing. So what's your comment on that, Ronnie?
Well, my comment on it is this, and my observation is that, you know, a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have seen a thing like that. And, well, there's scripture. A Bible scripture says in Deuteronomy, a man shouldn't wear a woman's garment and a woman shouldn't wear a man's garment. Now, this is obviously talking to heterosexual. So if you are a heterosexual male and you know that, what would, just ask yourself, what would make you purposely wear pants that are too tight, shirts that are too tight? What would make you do that? Was that your choice, or are you influenced by what you see? Now, your influence, if you're a believer, your influence is supposed to be the scripture and the truth. But for the person who's not a believer, I want to say, are you really, do you consider yourself an original? Do you consider yourself doing your own thing when you're just falling in line with the rest of society and what society accepts? You want to, I just want to raise the awareness. This is a question to raise awareness. What would provoke you to dress like a girl? What would provoke you to put on clothes that are fitting for a woman? Is this your choice, or has society led you in this direction? You want to, I'm just saying, because there is a strategic plan to make men more feminine. If you just look at the television and you look at who's considered and who's allowed to be a star, there's no masculine role models in the entertainment world. But unfortunately, the entertainment world shows by the money that it's making, it is influencing millions and millions of people, of American people. American people don't make a move unless it's accepted by society. And society is dictated by the entertainment industry, period. And so the thing is, the reason why, it's not that I'm blaming entertainment for it, I'm saying this is a lot of people's source of information. This is where people are persuaded. This is where people make their decisions, and this is how people shape their attitudes. And so if your attitude shaper is showing you that men should be masculine, there's a problem with that. You know, there's a definite problem with that. If you really take a look into history and see where we match up now, you know, there was a time when, you know, men were masculine, but it's not now. You know, when the best dressed person is wearing clothes that are, you know, a couple sizes too tight, there's a problem with that if it's a man. You know, I don't mind my wife wearing tight pants, but I'm not supposed to have tight pants on. And if I'm wearing tight pants, I need to ask myself, why am I doing that? Am I doing that because I've seen someone else do it? Or am I doing it because it's fitting for me as a man? And so this is the question I would like to ask to the person. Like, are you doing it because this is something that suits your style, or are you doing it because it's accepted by everybody else? And if that's how you're living your life, you might want to wake up, because one day society might say, let's all jump over a cliff. I hope you don't jump over a cliff. But, yeah, that's where I'm at with it, you know, because it's apparent that, you know, things have changed. You know, I was looking at some pictures from, you know, celebrities of the 90s compared to these celebrities now, and it's a total change. It's totally feminine.
Wow. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the rise of feminized men in today's culture. The number to call in is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Can We Talk Radio? That's who we are. Listen, Ronnie, you made a very interesting point there, and you know, we need to talk about why is that happening? What is the agenda of making men more feminized? Is there has to be a reason why this is going on? Like, I mean, they're not doing this, just the fashion industry is not doing it for the sake of it. They're not making men's skin jeans. I mean, who gets to decide every year? Okay, this is what we're going to put out. this is what they're going to wear. There is social engineering going on.
Wow.
There's a reason why this is going on, because they want to destroy the family. Why do they want to destroy the family? Because the family represents God. It represents godliness. God instituted family. So if I can cause gender confusion, confuse the young males growing up, get them to wear women's jeans, screw up their sense of sexuality, you know, how likely are they going to get married or have happy marriages? I don't think so.
Right.
So we really got to look into that. And let me ask you, Ronnie, who is behind this, man? I mean, some say it's the Illuminati. I mean, who would you say is behind this, man, as far as causing this decline? And
if I was going to say on a whole, just because the Illuminati statement is so confusing, you know, if I'm going to say that, you know, there's a group, a secret society behind it, I would also want to say that, you know, the leader of the secret society is the enemy, the
yes.
serpent of old, the dragon, the devil is behind any force, group, movement, or action that goes against God's will. And so, you know, for this is a general term, I would say, Illuminati, secret societies, you know, governments that are under the control, because it's a fraternal thing, you know. And so the thing is, it's not like a far-fetched idea, because the warfare truly starts with the mind. If you look at the Hitlers and the old rulers of times past, they know that the way you truly, even Constantine, they know that the way you truly subdue a people is through their mentality. So once you're shaping somebody's mentality, you control them whether they want to admit it or not. And so that's a strategic warfare to keep people docile, to keep people effeminized, you know what I mean? Because the one world movement is in effect. It's in effect. And so we're going to see little installations and test runs, you understand? And people are falling for it all the way around. You know, with no questions asked, people are just falling for everything that goes against God's creation. Man was created to be and look and act like a man, period. But see, you have a group that's controlled by the devil that wants to bring the devil's government into effect that is going to go against that by instituting things that are opposite from the way God created them to be. And so, you know, if I was to say who's behind it, I would say the devil is used in groups like Illuminati and the things that they control, the fraternal secret society brotherhood that is obvious and alive, you know, in the high places of not just America, but all over this world. Yeah, you know, I think it's strategic. It's strategic. That's what I think it is. And whichever group it was, because there's so many to name, but, you know, if you want to put them under an umbrella, yeah, it's a group of people who think that they have the knowledge and the power, and they're illuminated with knowledge to control the world.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's definitely a show that we definitely got to get into. And, you know, I can think of a few guest speakers that would love to be in the show and talk about that. But, you know, you really have to question and really question things that go on in today's society. You really just can't be followers. You have to really challenge what you see and challenge what's been said to you. And so you don't be led astray. That's important, guys. So just, you know, please pay attention to that. I was reading an article, Ronnie, about examples of how men are becoming like women. You ever heard of a guy called Adam Carolla?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's like a some sort of I think he's on TV or some sort of radio host, and he was saying that according to him, he was saying that in 50 years, men will be like chicks.
Wow.
And he said that he gives 10 signs, and you know, some of them I can kind of say yeah, you know, some of them, you know, if you know is question mark.
Mm-hmm.
But number one was men who own little dogs. And his thing was that if you own a little miniature poodle or a dog, any dog smaller than a cocker spaniel, then that's a red flag. And then he said number two is men driving small cars. You know, if you're driving a Fiat or something really small. Then he said that men who like throwing frisbees instead of footballs. Yeah, that's crazy. Then he said he talked about Justin Bieber carrying Mayweather's belt. He said that was kind of feminine.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the other one on his list was men wearing skinny jeans, where you can see everything. Like, and then men carrying around purses or handbags. What's up with that? And then the next one is men getting their eyebrows waxed. And then that's pretty much what he said, man. His whole thing is that, you know, he kind of agrees with what we're talking about. There is like a move to feminize men through modern day culture. And so it's not just us talking about this. There's other people are noticing this as well. And so we're just here to highlight, you know, what's going on. Now, I think we did a good summary on the clothing industry. I want to talk about the spiritual aspects, brother. Let's talk about
blessing like a girl.
Yeah, man. I mean,
like a girl.
Spiritual, what's going on? Not just dressing like a girl. No. That's part of it, but it's the expression of being feminine, but it goes deeper than that, bro.
The internal.
It has to go deeper than that. You know, something internal is going on, especially in the soul area.
Look at this. What you're doing, okay, here's the thing. We know, like earlier you mentioned that, a human, this is from the believer's perspective, this is a biblical perspective right here. We know that the human being is made up of three parts, the flesh, the spirit, and now I want to deal with the soul or the psyche or the mind, okay? Now, once you put yourself in a position, you have to psych yourself out to play that part. So when you're making excuses for doing things that are feminine, you're telling your soul. See, that's the thing. You can cause your soul to prosper either bad or good. And so once you've convinced your soul that it's basically like you're lying to yourself and you're blowing your own mind. So internally, what you're doing is you're feeding yourself a lie and you're living a lie. And you're causing yourself to miss your true mark. And this is what the enemy wants for humanity. The enemy wants humanity to miss its true mark. And so you might not be physically hurting anyone or yourself, but spiritually, internally, it's like a slow drip of poison that you're allowing yourself to accept until you just totally die or until your masculinity totally dies away and then you have none to give. So you might say, oh, hey, I still got kids, and, you know, I dress like a girl, but I got kids. Okay, well, now what you can't do is teach him how to dress like a man. What you can't do is teach him how to accept just the basic masculine things that we're blessed with as men that separate us. There's a difference between boys and girls for a reason, you know. And so once you have conditioned your spirit, you know, not your spirit, but you've conditioned your soul, okay, you condition your soul to accept all these things that go against your creation, the way you were created, Now you deprive the next generation of it. That's the thing. The enemy's not concerned with these superstars that are dressing like girls. They're concerned with keeping the next generation from even having an idea of what masculinity is.
And right.
So that's the, yeah, the enemy's thinking, you know, for the chess players, they know you got to think a couple moves ahead. The enemy's thinking generations ahead. If I knock these people, if I could put this generation to sleep, the next generation will wake up without knowledge and leadership. And so that's what's going on. And so you might say, hey, this doesn't affect anybody. It doesn't affect me and you right here, right now, as severe as I'm saying. Who's really going to be affected are the babies growing up watching boys dress like girls. And then how
wow.
am I going to convince my youngsters and my family, my children, that, you know, now I got to introduce them to a whole – to explain it to them, I have to introduce them and almost indoctrinate him into a whole way of life that it shouldn't be so. So, you know – you might want to defend it all you want, but if you're defending being feminine, that in itself is a problem. And so it does have a spiritual effect. But you said what the spiritual effect is this. Your body does what your soul tells it to do, and guess who pays the price? Your eternal spirit pays the price for missing the mark. See, people think sin is, oh, killing, this and that. Sin is an archery term that means missing the mark. So, you know, once you put your left foot in the right shoe, you've missed the mark. So it's just not as severe. But spiritually, when you miss the mark, you pay an eternal consequence. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy is subtle. And the enemy has been subtle with stripping the masculinity. Now, even rappers, something that is from the streets, you mean something that's from the streets turned into something feminine? That happens subtly. Over time and on purpose, because there's an enemy to what God establishes. And so, yeah, no, but the spiritual consequences, once you deteriorate your soul and your thought process and actually being able to say, hey, you know, this isn't really how I should be dressing. You know, it's not fitting for me as a boy to have to squeeze into a pair of jeans and my, you know, it's just not fitting. Once you miss the mark, you're off target, and then you continue to go astray. And so today it's wearing tight pants. Tomorrow it's going to be blouses. Next thing you know, it's going to be, you know, it's just going to continue. And the enemy's going to give you as much as you'll accept. Until men and women, there's no difference between them.
That's scary. You know, Ronnie, you just addressed the spiritual aspects. I want to talk about the physical. Now, Satan's not only going to attack the spiritual. He's not only going to attack the entertainment industry. He's going to attack the food. And you know, Ronnie, in the food, you know, when you know, what do a lot of black people like eating? Chicken. And in the chicken we eat, there's a lot of hormones, a lot of hormones in chickens and meat. What about the fast food, the McDonald's, all the fast foods, the French fries, all those different things that they're putting in the schools that for these kids to eat? I mean, these are causing their hormones to spore out of control. They're growing faster, getting bigger, an over-accelerated pace of growth. And henceforth, a lot of these men are creating breast tissue because of the hormones that are in the food. So I think that it's coming from the food as well. I think that that's causing them to cause their hormonal imbalances to go out of whack, cause them to be more estrogenic as a man versus having more testosterone. And you can tell by their smooth skin, their a lot of belly fat, just looking feminine, dude. You know what I mean? So I think that's a very dangerous thing. There's chemical, even the chemicals found in shampoo, sunglasses, the meat, the dairy products, the cosmetics, even the baby bottles. These are all hormone-mimicking chemicals that can cause severe damage to a man and woman's body, especially into the reproductive system, man. What do you think about that?
I know that's absolutely true. But see, the thing is, society is asleep. You know, and I'm not just talking about non-believers. I'm talking about as a whole, society is asleep. It's asleep because you mentioned a few things that you see the chemical and physical breakdown of a person is happening through the things that you eat. And so when you get a baby and your doctor tells you and advises you not to breastfeed but feed the baby soy milk, what you're doing is you're setting the baby up for a chemical and hormonal imbalance, meaning once you pump that baby full of soy, what you're doing is increasing its estrogen and decreasing its testosterone. And so once you set this chemical imbalance off, you're setting the baby up to be confused genderly because you got this boy who's been pumped in a whole bunch of soy, and since he's off balance, he's not in balance because the milk he was supposed to be getting from his mother, you know, the doctor recommends that you don't breastfeed. So you go ahead and feed this baby soy. And now this baby's hormones are so off that the boy thinks he's a girl. Then
Hello?
You get it. Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to speak
yeah.
when you take a break.
Okay. Yeah, and so you got to be careful on what you're putting in your body and what you're feeding your family. We need to wake up. We all need to wake up as a whole. But you go ahead, brother.
Absolutely, man. We got a caller from the I can't see the make out the number, but hello caller, how you doing?
Yeah, thanks. This is Mr. Solution. Yeah, I just was looking at you guys' subject and listening to you, and what I think you're leaving out is that first of all, there would have to be a code of conduct. You would have to have your own economic system to support what you want, and you would have to teach that. I understand what you're saying, but you're speaking in the abstract. You're not including the power that the law has, and you're not including the rights that women have fought for to be equal. And so you're saying one thing as if it's a really bad thing. You're not looking at all the other things that counterbalance what you're saying, if you follow my point. In other words, what is your code of conduct? What is your plan and your power of implementation, men and women? Because remember, women oftentimes are the major motivator of men. And so if your women are all topsy-turvy, counterproductive, and you know, everywhere but the right place, then men are pretty much going to be, you know, after those women. And so you just get a vicious cycle. But unless you have goals or a plan and a code of conduct and an economic system that will support what you're talking about, really what you're saying has no method of realizing itself. Does that make sense? Do you follow that?
If you will, so what, first of all, what's your name and where you calling from, sir?
Mr. Solution.
Okay, and what part of the country are you calling from?
Well, right now I'm in L.A. Where are you
okay,
from?
Well, okay, well, we're in the Inland Empire, California.
Okay,
well, we're talking about, again, I hear what you're saying, sir, respectfully, and I'm not quite sure what you're saying, but we're talking about the rise of feminization in men, and we're talking about, I hear what you're saying as far as how women can influence culture, but I don't see how that pertains to women, women Cali influencing. We're talking about a bigger issue where the rise of feminization of men is stemming from the entertainment industry, it's stemming from the food, it's stemming from the fashion, it's stemming from all facets of society that are causing this change in men. It's a trend that's happening. So
yeah, I understand. Look, let me just say this. I understand explicitly what you're saying. And one of the problems with people empowering themselves, they don't communicate well. I communicate professionally. So I understand exactly what you're saying. But I would ask you, just kind of shifting the question back to you, other than just talking about it, how would you rectify the very problems that you are raising? How would you go about solving those?
That's a very good point. Well, first of all,
that's the reason I'm asking.
Having this radio show is definitely addressing the issue and and making people aware of what's going on. And again, all we can do at this point is have information forums like this radio show to allow people to open people's consciousnesses up and awaken them to what's going on in society today. Why don't you have anything to add to that?
Well, I just gave you a large part of the answer. You don't understand the answer that I provided you with?
Actually, I didn't quite understand your
okay,
your
you would have to have your own economic you would have to have your own economy. That is your own economic structure. And we normally refer to that as vertical economic structure because people have to exist within a particular environment or context. So you would have to supply those jobs. You would have to supply the teaching. And that's what a society does for people. It provides them a mechanism to become educated and also to develop a livelihood. And without the power to at least influence some of that, what you're saying can never be a reality. If you look at a lot of the communities, whether it's Asian or Mexican or Hispanic or Middle Eastern, those people have functional communities and they have codes of conduct. And so they can actually better counter the negative effects of the culture.
Okay.
You see? And you understand? In other words, they have access to resources. Ultimately, you need resources to change your reality.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, we definitely thank you for your point. Ronnie, what do you have to say to the call?
Let me address the brother. Now,
well, thank you. Most people run away from that because they're just about talking.
No. The thing is, you mentioned that. Okay. First, this is not limited to one race, this issue, this problem, because in America and all over the world, you know, society is influencing the young people, regardless of what the parents are stating in the home. And so we're raising the question, what we would like to do is raise an awareness on the fact that what's being offered by society is actually a degradation and actually promotes men being feminine. And so the way we have to implement are the foundation that we would give to counter this problem would come directly from the Bible. If God's people as a whole would just take on to his word and follow the instructions that were given, we don't have to rely on society to tell us what to do.
Well, why do you think they're not doing that?
Well, who's not doing that?
Okay, what you just said.
Here's one point, because the victims are the youth that are fending for themselves. And so if you ask me why do I think that entertainment has more influence on children than parents?
No. What you just ask is why aren't the people following the word of God? And you said they're not doing it, and I simply ask you, why do you think they're not doing it?
Well,
I don't believe Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to add to the caller was that, well, because unfortunately the messages and the voices out there, the voices of entertainment, the voice of the world is much, it rings much louder and is more alluring than what the Bible teaches. So, you know, this show we teach, the show that we talk about is obviously from a biblical perspective. So we're believers in Jesus Christ. So we're always going to promote what God promotes, which is what God's word details. But we live in a world today where it's not slowly or steadily, but highly on the rise of decline, and throughout the fabric of society. And this is just part of the problem. It's getting worse and worse. So there, you know, as far as the men becoming feminized, it doesn't affect just like Ronnie said, the black community. It affects all communities, just like there's a lot, just like the rise of homosexuality.
But not to the same degree. We need the first thing. If you say you're a believer in God, the first thing about God is truth, practical truth.
Exactly.
Let me just make this statement. Other groups have more resources. They recycle their dollars to a greater degree, and therefore they have more power and control over their destiny. And that's the way one gets power and control over their destinies. They have functional communities. And the group that you are identifying, although there are problems, I mean, life has problems. Let's just acknowledge that. But the people with resources to address those problems will have less problems. I have problems, but I'm able to address all my problems. I'm able to resolve them.
Yeah, but, sir, you're suggesting that throwing money at a spiritual problem is going to fix it, and that's not going to happen. You can't.
I didn't say throwing money at it, but what I did say, if you don't have money,
you can't take earthly weapons and fix a spiritual problem. It's not going to be solved.
Well, what are you suggesting to fix the problem?
Okay, we're going to get to that if you listen. I'm just
Hold up. I like Mr. Solution brought a good point.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, you said that these other communities, they got money and they got resources, right?
Codes of conduct.
And, okay, let's start with the code of conduct is going to be biblical for it to work. Now, as far as resources, the black dollar is projected to spend $1 trillion this year. So obviously, if they got enough money to spend $1 trillion, consumer dollars, unfortunately, they're going to be spending $1 trillion consumer dollars this year. Though that trillion could go towards their resource fund. So it's not that they don't have the money and don't have the resources; it's that the monies and the resources aren't being used to progress them.
All right. May I explain something to you about that? I'm familiar with economics.
Okay.
Look, there's no power in consumerism. The power is in the production side.
Exactly.
So the reason none of those dollars, all those dollars flow out of your community. They don't flow into your community because there are no businesses. And I use, for example, there are virtually, what Dr. Claude Anderson said, there are no functional what you call black American communities in America, where they own the tax structure, the police, fire department, and so on and so forth, the school system. Other groups do own those particular resources. All of those are resources. A school is a resource.
That's right.
Okay? Businesses that we all need, those are resources. If you don't have any of those, then you have to spend all of your money with people who do. And then you look around and you look at the problems, and you're all in a frothy frenzy, but you have no power to really rectify anything because you're giving all your power to other people. They're living off of 100% of their resources and about 95% of yours.
Okay. Mr. Solutions, if you will, I don't want to steer too much of you. You brought up some really good points. I don't want to steer too far away from the topic. You mentioned that you mentioned about how women play a role in influencing men as far as that could be a cause to, I guess, to what we're talking about. Could you briefly just expand on that real quick?
Absolutely. Women have all the legal power. You men, other than just sitting and talking, you have no power. Number one, now I don't mean you personally, but I mean if it applies. What happens is women have all the legal power. That means all the muscle that the law can afford, and the law has a lot of power. And women have fought for the right to be equal, okay? Not this subservient or compliant individual that you guys, maybe you're talking about it, maybe not. I didn't hear all of your show. But what women are saying today is we want to chart our own course. And in a pluralistic society, they have the right to do that, and they're doing that. And so what has to happen is getting back to that code of conduct. Women can do and do whatever they want to do. And just saying that the other point I was making is that men like women, period. And women like men, too. But what happened is men and women aren't communicating about anything. They're just acting, I call it using their reptilian brain. It's just stimuli. There's no higher level thought, such as you guys are broaching spirituality. There's no spirituality here. It's just animalistic behavior, you know, hunger, thirst, sex, production. And even the reproduction is destructive because 73 to 75% of black kids are born out of wedlock. And that's very destructive to a community. That has to be gotten in check. Forget it. You have a hole with you have a bucket with a super hole. There's no way of carrying anything in that bucket because it all leaks out. And so unless these fundamental problems are addressed, there's no hope. Zero.
Okay, now, but specifically, how does that tie into what we're talking about?
Well, the way it, all of this, see, that's the thing. We're integrated beings. Economics, code of conduct, male-female communication, all of those things are working at the same time all the time. Either they're functional or they're dysfunctional, but their presence is there, just like gravity. It's everywhere, you know, at the same time. And so that's, first of all, effective communication. Whenever I look at a group and I see dilapidated and powerlessness, I know, number one, they aren't communicating well. You've got to learn to communicate effectively and deal with the fundamental issues. Male-female relationship is uno. And then you've got to deal with an economic structure, somewhere to actually carry out what you're talking about. So, I mean, those are just some fundamental things. You know, most of your churches now don't move an inch, except they talk about tithing. Why? Because the pastor wants that money. Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
Hello? Oh,
yes,
yeah, I just wanted to ask, because you brought up, I'm trying to stay on topic, because you brought up the fact that, you know, women have rights, women have power, right?
Correct.
Now, do you think a woman has the right to a masculine man?
Well, see, that's the thing. A woman has the right to whatever kind of man she wants, functional or dysfunctional.
Let me ask you a question, another question. Now,
wait a minute, did that answer your question? I want to be clear.
No, it did. But
very
the
good.
Thing is,
remember, the first woman chose Satan. Hello?
That's not a man. I'm talking about, look.
What I'm saying is the one that you give your allegiance to, first
right.
woman chose Satan. But go ahead.
Okay. I'm talking about today. Today. The woman you're talking about, you weren't talking about Eve when you were talking about the woman with the law and the power, were you?
still choosing Satan and Dracula. They still like the bad boy for the most part. They produce the bad boy, and that's who they like the most. They like the excitement of the guy who lives on the edge.
Okay, you're talking about back in the day. Today,
no, I'm talking about now, 2013.
Okay, like I said, the show is about emasculate men.
Well, you're talking about emasculated men, feminized men.
Exactly. There
right.
you go. Pretty soon, this is all the women are going to have to choose from. Now,
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Pretty soon, that's all the women, that's all the kind of men the women are going to have to choose from.
Okay,
and
the reason that is because...
Listen up. This woman with all these rights and this position that you were saying, we're trying to secure... That same woman's right to, guess what, a masculine man the way God created man. And so the topic is, this woman that you're talking about, we love her. We celebrate her. I want a strong woman on my team or not. But the thing is, the pickings for her are starting to become more and more feminine. Even the so-called baddest rapper who doesn't kill anybody, doesn't sell anything, and live in a fraud, even this one that's setting the pace for the rest of these young men is giving them a feminine style. And so I want to know your take on, have you noticed that masculinity has been turned down in society, black or otherwise?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, women don't want those type men. Women don't want the old-fashioned masculine man. They will turn away from that man every time. They want, in fact, there's a paper, and I'm going to recite it to you. It's called Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. Women love lessons, comma, decoding the desire for the bad boy. Many people who just talk about this and don't study it, they don't watch the dating habits of women, which this is what we're talking about right now, which is very important. Women choose these guys. They don't want the good guy. They turn him away virtually every time, because they aren't trained to want the good guy. So the women are choosing these kind of guys, and they're raising these kind of guys. You've heard the old adage that a nation can rise no higher than the morals of its women. Have you ever heard that?
Uh-huh.
Do you believe it?
Well, it's really out of order, but, you know, it comes from society. That doesn't make it true.
Well, I just ask you a question.
It's not
true. Do you believe that a nation can rise no higher than the morals of its women?
I believe that a nation can rise no higher than the leadership of its male.
Okay,
but
the women can reject.
That's true order. That's like, you
know,
what
you guys are failing, well, not all of you, but at least one of you, what you're failing to realize is the power of women. Women do the choosing.
I'm married.
Women do the choosing. I'm married.
Are you married?
Yeah, but no, I'm not. Most people in America are not married. There are more single people than married people.
Did you know that? I didn't say that to offend you. I just said that to know that.
I'm not offended, but I'm just asking you this.
I just said that to let you know that I appreciate and respect a woman. That's
right.
I
understand.
Said.
But did you know there are more single people in America today than there are married people?
Did you know that?
Why? No,
I know it's a statistic. It's a statistic, but that does in no way make it correct.
Well, the reason it is, though, is because men and women have not been taught to communicate effectively, and they're fighting. They're not communicating effectively. Now, what happens is either we've got to get the intestinal fortitude and the intelligence to lay out a formula or a model for men and women to communicate.
It's in the Bible. The Bible lays it out.
Okay, but the Bible is not being taught. That's the point I'm trying to get to you. It may be
right
in the Bible. Let me just say it another way. It is in the Bible. It's not in the hearts and minds of the people who
read
it.
Here's where we as man, brother, solution. Here's where we come together to let it be known that there's no law, there's no powwow, there's no cute phrase or statistic that satisfies society's depravity that's going to solve anything unless we totally come and look at Scripture the way it was given to us.
So it would be whole classes where you teach men and women how to communicate from the Bible. You can do that. But no one's doing that.
Mr. Solution, if you will,
we're starting right now.
Absolutely. I want to stay on topic, guys. And Mr. Solutions, I want to thank you for calling in. Mr. Solutions, please call in again. We love your ideas. Go ahead, Ronnie.
No, I was going to say, yeah, brother, you know, keep tuned in because, I know that you mean well and you can help. And so I just want to encourage you. You could start in your street, on your block, to let people know, let society know, you know, whatever sphere of influence that you have, that the answers we're looking for are in the Scriptures. That's what this show's about.
Absolutely. And I just want to add, I want to first, thank Mr. Solutions for calling in, and I hope that he calls in next week and has some interesting points to add to the topic. But I want to stay on topic. I was specifically asking some questions about, and it was getting kind of off topic, and the question wasn't really answered in a direct way. We're talking about the rise of male feminization in today's society. And again, we're talking from a biblical perspective, and that biblical perspective causes us to understand that even though Mr. Solutions is, he had some very good points. He mentioned that, since those who control systems and resources are able to handle or buffer or shield themselves from certain types of degradation in their communities, and the ones that do not are going to fall prey to strong influences. But what you have from the Samus Solutions is that it doesn't matter what culture you come from or how much resources you have at your disposal. What the enemy Satan has planned for mankind is total destruction.
Right.
And that destruction, your resources will not help you. This is a spiritual problem that's permeating through society, and the answer is Christ Jesus. Whether you want to accept it or not, whether you want to intellectualize that, go ahead and you can intellectualize that because it's a spiritual situation. So that's my comment. And we got a caller from the 562 area code. I want to hear. I think this is Dawana Mama. Dawana Mama, you in the building? Okay, that's probably listen. Call us at 562 Amigo. Dawana, you there? Okay, she's just listening. Go ahead, Ronnie.
No, I mean, I just wanted to stay on topic, and I don't know if the brother didn't hear what we were talking about, but I do want to, amplify what you said and let it be known that we're bringing up these issues that we see on a physical level. But we want you to bring them up so that people can see that these are just effects of a spiritual cause, And so when you're looking at the deterioration of society, when you're looking at the, the masculinity being challenged and trying to be erased, what you're seeing is the effects of the enemy that's causing these things. And the only solution is a spiritual solution. The only antidote is a spiritual antidote. And if you look at your scripture, you'll see that there's only one power that's greater than the power in this world, and that's in our Savior. And that power comes from God, the only one true and living God. So we just want, this show is about bringing up situations that you can deal with in the physical realm, that you can notice in the physical realm, but we want you to know that the root of whatever problem we bring up is spiritual. There's no, you can't throw enough money at it. You can't have enough sit downs. There's no legislation that's going to pass that's going to ultimately change everybody's minds. It's going to be the only renewing of the mind comes from the scripture. And so, you know, that's it. You know, there's no statistics. You know, the brother was saying that, oh, well, this many people don't get together. Yeah, it's out of order. You know, you're keeping chart of something that's already off course. So, you know, whatever statistic that comes along with something off course is off course. You understand? And so, you know, we appreciate it, but it's a spiritual battle that we're up against. You know, it's been, even he brought it up. He said that, you know, Eve fell for Satan's deception, and society is falling for the same enemy's deception today. And so, you know, we need to learn from that. We need to learn that the enemy will trick you and is tricking these men today into dressing like women. And so pretty soon you're not going to be able to tell one from the other. And when you can't tell a man from a woman, you're saying that you covered up the way God intended things to be. And so we just want people to wake up and have an awareness.
Absolutely, Brother Ronnie. And you know, I want to add to this that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And so that just goes to show in itself that, you know, we're dealing with some things that we can't use worldly weapons. We have to use spiritual weapons to combat what is coming at us in the spiritual, which is manifesting itself in the natural. But Mr. Solutions, I'm going to let you speak real fast. If you're still on the line, I think I still see you. I just want to know if you would like to come back to the show probably next week to share some of your points. We appreciate you coming on with your points. You have some good points. Mr. Solutions, we'd like to invite you back next week if you are to comment on next week's topic.
Well, yeah, I think you guys let me just say this, you know, and I appreciate you for being somewhat open-minded, because usually people who call themselves religious are very closed-minded. The best weapon we can use is truth. When God created the universe, that was a statistic, and all a statistic allow people to have greater clarity and a grasp of what's being dealt with. And so I think we need to be careful when we're saying that we are the only ones who have the spiritual insight. But truth is the main spiritual insight. That is it. And so when we know the truth and when we can practice the truth, then, of course, that's when we gain traction. Most people don't know the Bible or the principles in the Bible. I just finished teaching the book of Job over a course of about 3 or 4 months, I believe it was. And we did it two nights a week, a fabulous piece of literature and historical work, the book of Job. And so I just think we need to, you know, not be so prideful that we can't be open to what other people say. The feminization of men, American men, has an antecedent. And if you want to get at the solution, you've got to figure out what that antecedent is, where you want men to go.
Hey, Mr. Solutions, I don't mean to cut you off, sir, but we have to. The show's going to come to an end. I need to close the show out, sir. So, Mr. Solutions, thanks so much for calling in. Please call back next week.
Thank you, Mr. Solutions.
And we'll definitely entertain you, your comments absolutely next week. And he talked about truth, and truth is the highest form of reality, which is God. Other than that, there is no truth. God is the source of truth. He is truth. So that's my comment. My name is Raz Williams. Thanks to interesting end to Can We Talk Radio. We'll see you same time next Friday. I want to thank my co-host, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. Ronnie, what you going to say to the people, man?
Just tune in next week, and, you know, it was good to be here, and thanks again, Brother Solution. I hope you call back, you know, and you start at the beginning of the show, and, you know, we can talk.
That's why we call this show Can we talk?
Can we talk?
We ride on 25. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Everywhere from 24s, every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous, paying top finally paid off. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Everywhere from 24s, every crib got 50 doors. Don't get nervous, paying top finally paid off. We let them people know. In city and state we go. Can't keep that name on low. Deep in switching lanes. Both me and them rest the name. Real don't play no games. See someone on the chain. Standing and riding high. Scream Jesus when they're riding by. Where you gonna be when you die? I'ma be in the sky. We ride on 24. Don't have to sell no drugs. Refuse to get that blood. Be scouts go to the pro. Cadillac on. Maybach on. Bentley Cooper on. Share the hoop on. Thank the Lord, back with pride.